Great to have you with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here, taking a look now at travel, air travel, things you ought to know. Rick Sini, CEO and co-founder of FareCompare.com, one of our regular guests, and it's always great to have him along. Certainly, if you have questions for him, maybe you're planning a trip somewhere, I hope you'll join in. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@WPR.org or go to my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. You can post a question or a comment there. And Rick Sini, thank you for taking time to be with us today.
Hey, thanks for having me on again.
Appreciate it so much. Well, you've got some travel tips we really need to know. And let's start with tickets. And you've talked about this in the past, but when is the best time to buy them, and where should we go for the best deal?
Sure. Well, first of all, you have to break it up into two things. One is domestic tickets in the United States and Canada. The other is sort of crossing a border, typically going over an ocean or going to the Caribbean. So for domestic tickets, you want to start shopping about 3 to 3.5 months before departure. The reason for this is that airlines have about 10 price points for an airplane. We all know this if we buy our tickets at the last minute where we're paying, you know, $700, $800, $900 round trip for that ticket, and sometimes we get deals on the same flight for $100 or $200, and there's different price points in between. And so what they do is they start releasing their cheaper seats about 3 months before departure. It's sort of like a store managing its inventory. And before that time, they'll sell you the 4th, 5th, 6th cheapest seats anytime you want to buy. If you want to buy, you know, 6 months out, they're happy to sell to you at the higher price. But that's when you want to start shopping. And then they start treating you as a business traveler about 14 days before departure. And that's when they assume that your company's going to pay for your ticket and you can pay a lot more for that ticket. So it's a pretty wide range. I think this year you want to start a little earlier in that range than you normally would because you have several things happening. You have oil still above $100 a barrel. All the airlines are cutting back. We're looking at even more potential mergers. Probably won't affect this summer, but it will probably later next year if we see some mergers. So, and I think there's some pretty good pent-up demand. I think people are tired of staying home, so we'll see some more flying this year.
Yeah, probably. I had a question from somebody from the Milwaukee area, I believe, who is going to Orlando in October, like October 6th, and come back on the 20th with a couple of small kids, so they want a direct flight. They've been seeing rates at, you know, $300 a person.
That's probably a little bit high, and it's a little early to shop for that ticket. That October ticket, you want to be shopping sort of in the July time frame, July, August time frame. So that's when you're going to see some of the better deals come in. And, you know, I think people are really worried when they see gas prices as high that they should lock in their tickets early. You have to be careful about that because gasoline prices can, and a jet fuel in this case is kerosene jet fuel, can range wildly in price. We saw massive changes in these prices and people locking in several years for the last few years and then actually having the price go down a little bit. So I'd be cautious about that. The good news for consumers is airlines are very sensitive to bookings. We have to fill up all those planes. Airlines have to fill them up to be profitable. So there's still going to be a few deals out there, just probably a lot fewer than we saw the past decade or so.
And that family, they've signed up with FareCompare.com for, they've been signed up for a couple of months. So they just keep watching.
Yeah, no, I mean, we're going to send an alert every time ticket prices go down. Here's sort of a good rule of thumb, right? So, you know, you're in the sort of the Midwest, northern part of the Midwest. If you see any ticket that's within a flight that's within an hour, you should be expecting to try to pay under $150 round trip for that ticket. If the flight's about 2 hours, which would sort of be, you know, to just past Chicago or maybe even to Dallas or something like that from the mid-north, you want to see if you can get a ticket price in that sort of $200 range. And if you're flying a three-hour flight or more, anything under $300 is a pretty good deal.
There we go. Ken in Tomahawk has a question. Hi, Ken.
Good morning. I am planning to fly to Halifax on Nova Scotia on October 4th, returning on the 13th. I passed up some tickets out of Minneapolis for $533 a piece. The day I went to go ahead and book those, they had gone back up to $800. What's your best advice about when to look for something more reasonable than $800?
Certainly, yeah. Well, here's a couple of headwinds you're going to be going up against. First of all, the fuel surcharges are really high. Anything heading sort of eastbound, especially transatlantic, it has a fuel surcharge average about $450. Taxes are about $150, so you're at $600. So that $500 ticket, they were almost giving the fare away at that point. So that was a really good deal. Historically, that's not a terribly good deal, but in the current situation, here's what I would do. I would go ahead and go on our site, sign up for it, get alerts. But would you want to shoot for that price in October? In that $700 range, if you can get under $700, that's what I'd be shooting for. I would definitely wait. I think the price will come off that $800 for October, especially if you wait another 3 or 4 weeks to start shopping.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep, thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. We had Bonnie on Facebook asking or saying, I'm traveling to Cancun in early November and can leave from Green Bay, Milwaukee, or Chicago. Should I book tickets now or wait?
I would definitely start shopping in about a month from now, and you could book any time. Again, this is an international trip. Mexico has been under pressure with some of the security issues and people not flying there as much, and a lot of the airlines have been cutting back a lot of their flights to Mexico over the last year and a half or so. And so you're looking at price points sort of in that time range. And the good news is all the kids are back in school, so the price point typically drops in that October time frame. You should be able to find a ticket in the $450 to $550 range. That's sort of a decent deal. A lot of deals going right now for $600. I would wait a little bit. Give it at least a month and start shopping.
Let's go to Lori in Oshkosh. Hi, Lori.
Hello there. I would like to know the best flight from Appleton, Wisconsin to Tel Aviv, Israel, leaving on December 23rd, coming back January 2nd. But I wish I could just have, like, nonstop from somewhere in the States to, like, just one connection, and then go straight from, I hear there's a flight, like, from Atlanta to Tel Aviv.
There is, yes. So you're basically going to typically fly from the west, I mean, excuse me, from the east coast. You're going to go from New York, or I think there's at least one flight out of Newark. Atlanta also has one. I'm not sure if there's actually one out of Chicago, which would be a better bet from you out of Appleton, because I think you can fly into Chicago directly from Appleton. So that would be your best connection options. You have, you know, two or three of the major carriers in the U.S. actually have at least one nonstop, and then you also have El Al that flies out of New York as well. So you can do that. Most people actually that fly into Israel connect through London Heathrow because you have a lot more options. So if you want to fly directly, that's a very long flight, but just be aware it's going to be a little more expensive.
Well, maybe London Heathrow would work. That's
yeah, you're going to be making a lot of hops from Appleton, so you're going to go Appleton probably to a hub like in Minneapolis or Chicago, maybe even connect from there to London Heathrow and then on into Israel. That's usually a better bet for you.
Okay.
Very good. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. You can join in, too, by the way, at 800-642-1234. Let's turn to Marcia in Oshkosh. Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Great. Thank you for calling. What can we do for you?
Oh, my husband and I went to San Diego a couple weeks ago, and we booked the tickets on the internet last minute, and we flew out of Appleton and to Minneapolis and then Minneapolis to San Diego. The leg from Appleton to Minneapolis, they sold me the ticket, but they said there was not any seats available unless I wanted to purchase a preferred seat for $9 extra. So I waited it out, and of course I got one of those, we got one of those seats without paying the surcharge. So I have two questions. Is he seeing a lot of that happening? And then the second question is, could I have gotten booted off that flight?
Well, yeah, well, so I guess your first question is the airline fee generation, which pretty much started in May of 2008 with American Airlines filing the first check bag fee, has gotten a little more aggressive over the years. Certainly, we've seen carry-on fees being added by Allegiant, which is a smaller airline. Some of the folks are probably familiar with that, especially in the Minnesota area. All these things where, you know, they don't have any economy seats, but they have quote-unquote premium economy seats for an extra $9, or it's an aisle seat. Basically, this is the merchandising strategy for airlines. Typically what happens is Unfortunately, if you wait to the last minute, typically ticket prices get much higher. So you're better off in some cases locking in for that $9 or whatever it is, whatever the particular fee is. So certainly that's happening quite a bit, and you're going to see more of that domestically, I think, in the near future. And what was the second question?
Well, you know, they sold me the ticket, and so I did, but I didn't have a seat. So if I had gotten to the airport not having purchased that premium seat, could they have? You know, would I have been booted off the flight for that?
In theory, I doubt you would have been booted off because, first of all, once you're ticketed, basically you have a seat. Then you're now considered to be in a class of involuntary bumping or being bumped, and they could ask for you to be bumped off the flight. But once they ticket that particular plane, that particular flight, basically you own that ticket and you have the right to a seat. So in theory, you'd be treated sort of like overbooked, for example, if there were no seats. But the compensation now doubled this past year to $1,300 round trip.
Oh, okay.
For flights over 2 hours. So they're not going to want to do much of that overbooking. So so waiting to the last minute is fine. Typically inside of 24 hours, they don't charge those fees.
All right.
Okay. All right. Thanks so much.
Thanks so much for calling. Appreciate your call. Visiting today with Rick Seeney. Where are you planning to travel? Do you have an upcoming trip? You need a little bit of advice? What travel tips do you swear by? Maybe you've got some suggestions or advice, or maybe you've got a problem that you'd like to talk with Rick about. I hope you'll join us. Coming up right after the news, we'll visit with Rick Seeney again here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Great to have you listening in here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here with my guest today, Rick Seeney. CEO and co-founder of FairCompare.com. Great to have him along. Thank you for listening in. Appreciate it very much. And Rick, we had a caller, Heather, on board from Appleton, who's, I think, daughter maybe took a trip.
Yeah, daughter wanted to go to the summertime. Yeah.
Yeah.
And she was comparing the $1,300 she's seeing today with the $900 she paid last year.
To go to Paris, yes.
Yeah, and I think part of the problem at the moment is you're getting caught up in that July time frame for the pre-Olympics buzz that's going on in Europe. So there's getting a premium into cities like Paris, which is an easy train ride into London, and also Amsterdam and some other places. So they're getting anywhere from $150 to $200 premium right now for that, and I don't expect that to go away. Now, one of the things I would mention is, as long as you leave on a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, typically, you'll save yourself about $40 each way because those are called midweek fares. And typically, if you leave on the weekend, you'll pay a bit more. But I don't know if you'll be able to find any tickets at this point, especially leading up to the Olympics in that July time frame, especially if you're going to stay for 2 or 3 weeks that aren't going to get caught up in some of that Olympic buzz there.
And, you know, our Wisconsin Public Radio crew will be flying to England on July 1st through the 9th. We're actually doing garden tour. I'll be flying with 30 other people, and the ticket prices were a little steep getting in there.
Yeah, probably around $1,100. Typically, yeah. Summertime prices to Europe over the last couple of years, outside of the recession, have been averaging about $1,100 to $1,200 from Minneapolis and Chicago. And really the big issue right now is taxes and fuel surcharges. You're looking at a little over $600 in taxes and fuel surcharges. So even if they're only charging $200, $250 each way for the ticket, you know, you're getting a really hefty price historically.
Cindy in Marshfield says, my family hasn't planned our vacation yet this year. We're totally flexible on where and when. Do you have some tips for vacation spots that would be really good for, let's say, this summer?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, if you're going to go in the U.S., I'll give you my five best ones in the U.S. Certainly, the entire southern tip and even the panhandle of Florida is a great place to go, especially as you get to summer. You know, you have to do a little hurricane dodging later in the summer. That's why it's a little bit cheaper. Denver is another one of the top picks this year. Heavy, heavy competition there. Also, Boston is really inexpensive now. Some good low-cost area coverage, and Los Angeles as well would be my top four picks. And you can fly into Burbank, Ontario, Santa Ana, which is Anaheim, Orange County. Those are all some of the cheapest destination airports. We just did a study about a month ago, and those were the top four.
Sounds great to me. When can we leave, huh?
I'm with you on that.
Oh, man. Well, let's go to Bain and Racine. Hi, thank you for calling.
Hi, Larry and Rick. I am planning a family trip to Australia for Christmas. I'm flying out of Chicago to Melbourne, and I have a couple of questions I'm hoping you could help me with. I want to know what a good price should look like, when I should buy my tickets, and then what's the best route.
Right, so basically wintertime here, summertime there, so that's peak time, right?
Right.
Your best bet, you know, sort of pricing is out of the Los Angeles or San Francisco area. You have an airline like V Australia, which is part of the Virgin Family Group, that also flies out of Los Angeles, which drives down the price a little bit. But typically you're looking in that $1,500 to $1,800 range.
Okay.
Per person in coach. And by the way, it's a long flight.
No, I know. Yeah, we plan for the long flight. We're going to visit friends there, so they
sure.
warned us.
Yeah, no, it's a long flight. I whenever I take that sort of swing, I always stop on the in Los Angeles or San Francisco, and I typically actually spend the night there because I know it's going to be a rough one. And typically, the prices out of the West Coast are much cheaper than ones from sort of mid coast, or even if you're coming from the East Coast. Certainly, again, these are international flights, so here's some rules of thumb. For this particular ticket, you need to start shopping about 5 months before departure. So that puts you, sort of July-ish, August time frame, right?
Okay.
To start shopping for it. Look for that price point. Now, there are some deals from time to time. Qantas has run some really aggressive sales from the West Coast. And they also have that Mondo airplane called the Airbus A380, which I'm looking to fly as well, which gives you a little extra leg room and some other stuff. So they fly that, I think, out of Los Angeles as well once a day.
Very good. So
I would look and see if you can connect there. And again, these are the ticket price you should pay. Definitely, if you're looking at Qantas, look for those sales. If you sign up for alerts on our site, we'll notify you right when those sales occur. So that's what I would be shooting for.
Thanks so much for your help. I appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. Thanks a lot for calling. And Bill in Menominee, Michigan. Hello.
Hi, this is Bill. My wife and I were thinking about going to South Korea to visit my son in September, the end of August or September, and we started looking online at tickets, and I stopped looking as soon as I saw the price. Is there anything you can do?
Yeah, probably seeing ticket prices around anywhere between $1,300 and $1,500, or maybe even higher in some cases.
Yeah, it was quite a bit higher. It was probably closer to $2,000 a ticket.
Yeah, and part of that problem is to get to Southeast Asia and some of these other little spots. It's not so much the Pacific leg that's overly expensive, is those little short hops that they really hit you with.
Okay.
And to get in there, so you're looking at a multi-hop ticket, right? And so that's why they're hitting you with that extra. Because you said you want to go in the fall, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so they're going to start releasing some of those cheaper seats over the next 3 or 4 weeks. I would continue to look. You were shopping just a little bit early. I would expect for you to be able to get in that $1,500 to $1,700 range. I'd be surprised if you continue to look if it stayed up around $2,000, but you're not going to get much under $1,500. That's the sort of going rate for that ticket.
Okay, well, that's good to know.
All right, thanks a lot for calling, Bill. And Matt in Milwaukee. Hi.
Oh, hi. Thanks, Rick and Larry. Yeah, I was I traveled to Austria every once a year, roughly, and I'm assuming that the price is going to be higher in August compared to September. Is that right?
Actually, yes. There's a break point in prices right around sort of the last week of August when kids start to go back to school. That's when typically the price point drops anywhere from 10 to 20%.
Okay.
So for departures...
Also,
you want to wait. If you can, take that departure later in the last week in August. You'll save you some money.
Okay. I just returned from there. I was nine. I left in March and came back in early April. Early this month, it was about 9:35.
Yeah, I think you should you should get under $1,000. It'll be similarly priced, maybe just a slight bit cheaper. You know, spring tickets like the one you took in March are typically about 5 to 10% more than fall tickets, as long as you leave after the last week in August.
Okay. Also, do the airlines have these open return tickets anymore?
Well, they do have a form of them. Some of them are called round-the-world tickets, or there's a variety of visiting tickets. But they're usually typically more expensive, around the anywhere from $2,500 to $3,000, and you basically can stop anywhere want to along the way. So open-ended tickets are very difficult. A lot of people like to do cruising, for example, where they do a trans-Pacific cruise or something, and they want to come back. Mm-hmm. Typically, your best bet always when flying to Europe, for example, is even if you're going to stay there for a long time, is to buy a round-trip ticket, assume you're coming back, and if you can't make it back, then to go ahead and cancel that last leg. And typically it's a $250 change fee. But the bottom line is those round-trip ticket prices are typically anywhere from 50 to 150% cheaper than one-way tickets.
I see. Yeah, I've noticed that. Hey, also one more quickie. Have you flown Iceland Air before?
I have.
Yeah, they still. Sometimes I've seen they've had some great deals, as long as you don't mind flying to Luxembourg.
you can actually do that. They do. They fly a variety of routes. They typically stop along the way, and typically their prices are about 20 to 30% cheaper. So, I've flown them a couple times. Perfectly reasonable airline to fly. They have a less convenient schedule. Typically, they only fly once or twice a week.
Right.
So you have to be careful, if they have any troubles on the way back, you may be stuck for a few days. And that's the only thing that I think is the drawback.
Mm-hmm. Okay. There you go.
Great. Hey, great information.
Thanks, Matt.
Appreciate it.
Yep. Talk to you later. Thank you. Peter in Stoughton, hello to you.
Yes, I have a question. We booked a direct flight from Chicago to Madrid. It's with American Airlines, but the flight is being operated by Iberia.
Sure.
And went to get seat assignments and found out that we cannot get seat assignments until 24 hours before the flight, which makes me a little nervous going that far. And I'm wondering, is that normal and should I be concerned about it?
It is normal and you shouldn't be concerned. Basically, American has a deal with IAG, which is the parent company of British Airways and Iberia.
Okay.
And they have a what's called a virtual merger between them where they share routes and they share pricing. I just did the similar thing where I connected in Washington, D.C. about 2.5 months ago, stopped it off there, and went ahead and got my ticket, my seating assignment 24 hours ahead of time. So if you are American and you have an advantage number, mm-hmm. you can actually check in right at that 24-hour mark. But just remember that everybody on the flight is going to be doing that.
Yeah.
So if you want to, a particular section or seating, you need to be really early and very proactive at doing it right at that 24-hour mark.
Okay. We'll do that.
All right. Thanks.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, appreciate the call. Nicole in Springfield, Illinois. Hi.
Hi. Good morning. I am so thrilled to talk with both of you. I got married October 20th, 2002. And saved up my miles, airline miles, for years so that we could take a dream honeymoon. We got tickets with the miles and some money to Bali with a stopover in Hong Kong. The bombing in Bali happened the week before we left, and a friend who works for the Secret Service told us to put off the honeymoon, so we did. I did what American Airlines told me to do and sent the tickets back, and it ensued that they said they never got them. It's been almost 10 years. I have never given up on this. I've kept complaining and writing letters, and I finally found the copies of the tickets. Is there anything I can do to get my honeymoon back? Because I am devastated.
Good question.
And I've got the tickets now. I've got the copies of the tickets. They knew I didn't get on the flight, but they were playing hardball.
Well, the good news, first of all, anytime you know you're not going to take a flight, immediately pick up. It's the number one thing people do is they forget to, they don't tell the airline. You lose all value of your ticket unless you tell the airline you're not going to take that ticket, right?
I told the airline and I got instructions. They told me to send the tickets back. I did everything I was supposed to do except I didn't keep a tracking number. But I did keep copies and I just couldn't find them and I have them.
Now you do have them. So here's the deal.
Okay.
Those tickets are still valid, right? Now,
are they?
There's, on certain airlines have different retention policies, right?
Okay.
And so I've seen people with, in fact, I saw somebody the other day with a 10-year-old Delta paper ticket. Remember, no tickets are done on paper anymore.
Right.
Everything is electronically ticketed now. It's a new requirement for the past year or so. You know, here's part of the problem. Americans going through bankruptcy as well.
I know.
And so that was before the bankruptcy time frame, which was, I think, end of September, which maybe put a sort of a stick in the mud or fly in the ointment there. The other thing that you did get them with miles, did you use American miles or did you use credit card miles?
I used American miles and TWA miles that I'd saved them for years. Plus, I paid cash and bought miles to make up the difference that I didn't have.
Yeah. So those, here's the deal: is it? Tell you what I'll do. If you'll, Larry will send me a note with your name. I'll put you in contact. I live in Dallas, where American is, and we have a few people we might be able to do this. But it would be very difficult for you to call in and get this sorted out. But we might be able to get you some help there. I'll pull in some of our contacts and see what you can do. The bottom line is that it's a hazy area. They're not required necessarily, but they could if they wanted to. And then maybe, you know, this will be a success story for you if you just send us a note and we'll see if we can't hook you up.
I will kiss your feet or send some from Bali. I would be so thrilled to have a honeymoon after 10 years.
Yeah, I think
that's okay. We'll just get let you do the honeymoon, and the rest you can kiss somebody else.
You know, and you're going to have to send us a digital photo from your trip too.
Oh, definitely.
Nicole, we're going to put you on hold, and Judith will get that information, okay?
Thank you.
Yeah. All right, we have her on hold.
The funny thing was, they had this deal at Southwest where they had drink tickets, right? And they just changed their policy a while back. People were redeeming drink tickets from like 10 or 15 years ago on flights. So it's one of those flight attendant stories that you love to hear. It's when somebody brings out a 15-year-old free beer ticket.
Alex in Milwaukee. Hi, thank you for calling.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. A quick question about, well, I have two questions. First one is about Mexico City. I fly there once or twice every couple of years for the last 10 years, and I've paid such wildly different prices for the tickets, and I'm looking to go down there again. Just recently got an email on this listserv I belong to for flight deals, tickets as low as $300, or in $295 out of O'Hare, $300 and I think $15 or $30 from Milwaukee in the late summer and fall. I'm just wondering where do you look for the best deals? Who offers deals to Mexico City? When's the best time of the year for cheap tickets to get down there?
Sure. Well, the couple airlines have the most lift into Mexico City. You have the former Continental, which is now United, then American has the most lift into Mexico City. You also have a few flights on a variety of charter airlines. I think Sun Country flies into some of the beach locations as well. Mexico City itself, typically, if you're finding any price under $300, that's a good deal.
Yeah.
That's a really good deal, especially out of Chicago or Minneapolis. That's a really good deal. Typically, that ticket price is around $450 to $480.
Uh-huh.
And so if you see anything in that range, you can tell that means, you know, prices are depressed, the flights aren't filling up as much. Airlines have been cutting back some seat capacity into Mexico City because some of the security concerns that have been raised over the last anywhere 10 to 20 months.
Uh-huh.
And so definitely, you know, for that time frame, again, Mexico is sort of closer to domestic from a time frame. You want to start shopping about 3.5 to 4 months before departure. That's your best window. And you should be able to find a decent connecting flight. Typically, you're going to connect in a place like Houston or possibly out of Dallas, for example. Those are two. And, you may connect out of Phoenix as well, depending on what airline you go on.
Okay. Great.
All right. There you go.
I have one more question, question.
Sure.
I'm wondering if you've ever heard of Air Hitch. I had a friend who had followed some leads to taking an Air Hitch flight to Europe, and in the end, taking it to Spain, I believe, didn't end up doing it. But it sounds like such a crazy thing to me. I'm wondering if you'd have any insight into what Air Hitch is.
I apologize. I don't know if I've heard of that exactly, and it's rare that I get stumped.
What is it? Could you describe, Alex, what's going on?
Sure. So from my understanding, it's kind of like the old thumb out on the side of the road, but for commercial jets. And I'm not sure what they're transporting, but there is an opportunity to sort of hitch a ride on an airplane that's not taking passengers for whatever reason.
Interesting. I have not heard of that. I've heard of a bunch of wacky things before, but you know, hopping on a cargo flight is or one of those other flights is interesting. I know that some people do that. You know, that there's UPS and FedEx pilots, and they have jump seats, and I've heard of people actually taking those. But those are typically family members or friends and family, not just on the market. And I've seen a lot of people try to arbitrage tickets where they try to aggregate demand and you know, fill up planes with charter flights. But I'm not sure I've ever heard of this one before, but I definitely will take a look and put it on my list of things to research for next time.
He actually had to go and meet up with someone in Brooklyn who sent him to go talk to someone else, and it was this wild goose chase that he had to be vetted through all these different people, and it really sounded like he was paying someone to sort of hitchhike on this jet overseas.
All right. Well, we'll definitely have to give that. That sounds like one of my ABC columns right there. So you might have given me an idea there.
Oh, man. We have a Facebook question from Elizabeth. My daughter is spending fall semester in Seville, Spain. Needs to arrive September 2nd with flexible return in mid-January. When is the best time to buy and what price can I expect? She would be leaving from Madison, Milwaukee, or Chicago?
Yeah, so first of all, I think Milwaukee and Chicago are your best two bets. They typically have similar rates. Madison would cost you an extra $150 or so. Since she's staying more than 30 days, that ticket price is going to be a little higher than usual. Yeah. They have this sort of 30-day maximum stay rule on some of the cheapest tickets. Certainly, I wouldn't want to try to leave it open-ended. You want to buy a ticket, as we mentioned earlier, for that return. If you can't make it, that's a separate problem, but you definitely want to buy that ticket as a round-trip ticket and try to make that return and pick a specific day. Otherwise, there's, you know, like I said, these one-way tickets are typically anywhere from 1.5 to 3 times the round-trip rate.
And Mark in Winona, Minnesota. Hello.
Oh, hello. Thank you very much for having me on the air, guys.
Sure.
Say, I got a question. I finally got invited to a destination wedding in the Dominican Republic.
Okay.
So I'm wondering, well, the wedding is in the middle of October, and I guess I'm wondering when would be the best time to buy a ticket.
Sure, it's a little early right now. In that particular case, you want to be looking at buying that ticket sort of around the July-ish time frame. That's when you want to start shopping.
Okay.
That ticket price usually averages, and depending on where you're going out of Chicago or Minneapolis, would be your main connection point.
Probably Minneapolis. Yep.
Minneapolis. So you're looking at around $600 to $700 round trip at the very low end and as high as $900 at the top end. That's the, sort of the average price point.
Okay, and then I've got another kind of a different question. As long as I'm in the area, I was thinking about maybe trying to go to visit Havana in Cuba.
I just got through talking with somebody that just took a long tour there that lives down the street from me. It is illegal to fly to Cuba. People do it. It is actually the Obama administration relaxed some rules where you can do it with a tour group, and there's several tour groups that will actually be put together, and you can go for a couple weeks and visit Havana. Otherwise, you have to sort of be on your own. The only place you can get there out of Canada, you can get there out of Mexico, but it is illegal. If your passport gets stamped and you try to come back to the U.S., you're probably going to end up with a huge hassle, so just be careful.
Oh, so you don't want it stamped.
Well, I'm not going to say exactly. This is an area that's sort of on the edge, but there is legal ways to do that. If you're friends and family, you can certainly do that. They have charter flights. I've opened up a bunch of charter flights out of the southeastern part of Florida and some of those areas, and you can take a tour group that's legally. In fact, you can do that. But if you're going as an individual, you cannot buy a ticket to Cuba from the U.S.
And Rick, it's always a pleasure. Thank you so much, and we'll send people to your website at faircompare.com. Thank you.
Great, thank you.
Rick Cini is CEO and co-founder of faircompare.com. Take a look at his website, and you'll find a lot of really good information there. And thank you very much for listening. Stay with us. Lots in store on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.